What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 130. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. You know, it is going into the new year, or it is the new year, and it's time to, you know, buy some new PC products, accessories, or what have you. And Amazon's the best place to do it. If you're a Prime member, you know, two-day shipping, you get it super fast. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. And it's Monday here instead of Sunday. We're recording on Monday. And with me, as always, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's going on, Bob?
It's Monday.
Yeah. We had a little bit of scheduling difficulty yesterday. Didn't quite match things up, so we go today.
Yeah, but I can't even talk today. It's exciting, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about this week, or this past week, a lot of cool stuff going on. So we'll jump right into our reviews, and to start things off, we have the ADATA XPG Gamix S10. That is their kind of gaming, marketed as a gaming M.2 SSD. It's their NVMe drive. It's a nice drive. The one thing that I really like about it is they put a really cool heatsink on it. This red heatsink that kind of goes with the whole XPG deal. It's just going to look good inside your system. And then the other thing is they backed it with a 5-year warranty. And this is like an NVMe drive, it's high performance. It's not like the most high performance NVMe drive out there. So the fact that they did back it with a 5-year rather than a 3-year is something that I definitely like. It's just a good overall NVMe drive. Again, not the fastest. So right around write speeds of around 1,800 megabytes a second and read around 1,800 megabytes a second and write around 850 megabytes a second there. So again, not the fastest. You know, the fastest ones out there, you'll see around 3,000 and like 3,000, 1,500, something like that.
Yeah.
Read and write. So it's not the fastest, but it's very well priced. It has the...
It's plenty faster than a traditional solid state drive.
Yeah, so you're going to get a much better speed increase over a solid state drive and a much, much faster one over a normal hard drive. And again, it's priced really well. And it's going to use less power than those SSDs, you know, those other SSDs too. And it looks good, and it doesn't take up, of course, space inside your system. So if you're building, small form factor, you can, you know, this goes right on your motherboard, and you're kind of good to go there. And you don't have to worry about heat or anything like that. It doesn't heat up in the integrated heatsink there. It helps keep it cool as well. So it's a cool little drive. It's available in, we reviewed the 256, but it's available in 128, 256, 512, and 1 terabyte. So you're kind of, you know, you're good to go with this drive. Like I said, it kind of is kind of like that middle ground between a high performance, you know, 2.5 inch SSD and the super high performance NVMe drive. So you're kind of right in the middle there.
Now, you're testing, you didn't actually hit that 1800 read most of the time.
Yeah. So I, what's so weird is, you know, marketing these days is that there are 1800 megabytes a second. That has to be for the 512 and 1 terabyte, I'm guessing. And they don't have the lower read speeds on the website, which I don't like, which I'm not a fan of. But I think for the 128, 256, they're going to be right around 1400. And then when you get to the 512 and 1 terabyte, you'll get that full speed. I looked at other reviews online, and the people who reviewed the 512 and 1 terabyte got the 1800. People who did the 128 and 256, like we did, got it right around the 1400, 1500. Okay. So
they just really need to list separate specs as well.
Yeah, some companies do, some companies don't. I don't like it that it's not listed, you know what I mean? I wouldn't say it's deceptive, but it's just, it should be listed. It does say on the website that performance may vary based on SSD capacity, but it would be nice to have those values, right?
And I thought that the performance differences when it came down to NVMe drives and capacity were significantly smaller than those found in a solid state drive.
Yeah. I mean, you're not losing a whole lot here because we've seen SSDs that, you know, if you get the lower end drive, like it's like as fast as a normal hard drive.
Right.
So you're not losing really any write speed, which is good. But you're losing some of that read speed. But again, I think it's priced well. It's competitive. The 5-year warranty is huge for me because most entry level NVMe drives. They come with a 3-year warranty, not 5, so you get 5 years out of this guy. And like I said, it's perfect for a gaming drive, especially loading games and all that. So I like
it. Yeah, $256 for $97 is, I mean, if you came up with in the solid state drive days, you used to get like what, 64 gigs for that or something like that. So
yeah,
these days the pricing is very, very affordable.
Yeah, so I like it. Definitely would recommend checking this drive out. I would get it in the higher capacity just to get the full speed, but it's a good drive overall for sure.
Right.
Yes. So that brings us to some more RGB fans. And this week we took a look at Corsair's HD120 RGB fans. And they sent us the kit that has the three fans. So you get three 120mm fans. You get the controller and you get the control box and the controller to control everything. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the brightest RGB fans. Like the fan blades are like kind of clear white, and then the actual frame is clear. So they look awesome. Put these in any system, they look really, really great. The lighting on these is what really sets them apart from other fans. But talking about the lighting, there are 12 LEDs embedded in the frame. Which is a lot. Of the time, to start off, we see 4. We've seen some with 8, but having 12 individual LEDs in the frame is a lot. That's why these are so bright.
Those are individually addressable as well.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. These look amazing. They're really great. The downside, and there's a couple downsides to these, is that one, there's no software. So they include a little controller box that it has physical buttons on it, and you press it to go through different modes, which is fine.
They can't be controlled through software, or?
They cannot.
Really?
Yes. We've talked about this in the past when it comes to keyboards and when it comes to AIOs. It's like, if you don't have software, it kind of puts you in a lower level, right?
I think when it comes to RGBs, if you don't have software, you shouldn't have the product.
Yeah, and what's it's really weird is that even the control box doesn't have like a RGB output.
That's what I thought it would have had.
Yeah, it does not. So you're limited to the modes that it does have. And it has some really cool modes. Like I said, the fans look great, but if you want to specifically control, like, you can only pick so many colors, right? You can't pick a specific color, with software, which is something you'd want to do. And you can do that in any RGB software offered by motherboards. You can't match these with other components in your system, which an RGB connector would allow you to do. It's just, like I said, it's just in that another level. And we talked about the InWin fans, and what was just nice about those is that they had software. Those ones also had a 4-pin output to your motherboard if you wanted to control them that way. These unfortunately do not. And another thing about these is that they're not daisy chained or anything like that. So each fan has 2 connections that go off each fan.
Yeah, each fan has 8 wires.
Yeah, so one connection goes to the control box, which does the addressable LEDs. The other one goes into your motherboard or fan hub. So you don't get a fan hub with this or anything like that. So you have to have all this stuff, or you have to have enough available spots on your motherboard, or your case has to have a fan hub or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel in that regard, these fans are very limited to what you can do, right?
That's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, it is kind of disappointing, and you can't really control these the way you would want to. And I especially when it comes to RGB stuff, I like it because, I'll have a setting that I like, and then like a month later, I'm like, oh, I want to change the color to this, or I want to do this, right?
Yeah.
And with this, you're only limited to, a handful of colors and a handful of, effects, right? Like I can't pick neon blue. I can pick blue, but it's not a neon blue. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things that's just limited, right?
Yeah, and I found the same thing with Corsair Link for the RGBs in their coolers as well, is that the the settings are like compared. I mean, it's like they didn't look around at other companies and what other companies are doing. The settings are very limited, and this is even more limited than that because you're not able to do it through software. You have to physically open your case just to change the colors.
Now the controller, the wire on it's quite long, so you can technically mount it on, you know, but who wants that mounted on?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, who wants that mounted either? So I think that I would hope, you know, over this year we'll see Corsair. I think we've talked about this with Corsair products on both the Link and the Q side, is that both of those pieces of software need redone. The Link especially, it's so dated. Q's not bad, but it can still use a lot of work.
And Link was just updated too, that's the thing. I don't think they're quite aware of the situation.
Yeah, so I would hope over this next year we'll see some type of control software that will, you know, they'll come out with new fans that are, you know, that connect to software in some way. Two is that they'll make the fans so they can be daisy chained and all that. Because when you're doing these, especially everybody's doing the three fans in the front now, you know, the RGB fans, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want all those cables. It's just more cable mess. And like the N1 ones were great because you could daisy chain them. It was just like perfect.
Loop one to the next.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing too, I mean, like how is it that these can't be connected to your motherboard? That's just what?
Yeah, I mean the fans can, but there's no RGB output to connect them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you can power the fan.
Yeah.
But you can't connect the 4-pin RGB connector to it.
No, you cannot. It's not the.
The hub should just
have an output.
The hub should just be like a splitter that goes to the motherboard. That would be much more useful than the hub that they include.
Yeah, or like I said, that the control box should have a RGB output so you can optionally connect it. Like, it's a cable.
Yeah, that's
I don't
what
understand.
I mean. Like you don't even... Including the manual control is so outdated that just get rid of that. All I want is connection to the motherboard.
Yeah. So, again, you know, these fans, while they look great, they sit in that category of no software. Or even, you know, no RGB connection, which is is a huge downfall. I'm just not... You know, go ahead.
Well, to me, like, okay, so if I have a dual radiator setup or a single radiator and then several, you know, sets of case fans, regular case fans, like, I'm going to end up with two of these controllers and I'm going to be, like, trying to, like, time my button pushes to get my fans synced and then hope that they don't screw up.
Well, the controller does support up to 6 fans, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to go push-pull on one 360 rad, and then I need another one.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Any legit water cooling build is going to need more than one of these.
Yeah, it's a problem, you know what I mean? And that's why
it's just short-sighted.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, this kit is $75.99. That's the three fans with the controller and all that stuff. Which isn't horrible, but again, if you remember the N1 fans, I wouldn't say they look as good, but you get
same pricing.
You get I think they were $79. You get three fans plus two RGB strips, and the controller and software and the ability to connect it to your motherboard.
They have a fairly decent static pressure rating. Whether that they actually get that or not, probably. Of course, Corsair's fans are fairly decent with static pressure.
Yeah, the fans themselves are good. They're a good set of fans. It's just, you're limited, and you have to realize that if you're looking to buy this kit. Yeah. That's what I would say.
It's too bad, because I remember they had that whole wall of these, right?
Yeah.
At CES, and these look great.
And I have the other kit here. These are the HD. I believe I have the RL ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're set up the same or not, because I haven't opened the box yet. So we'll see. The RL came out after these, I believe.
Okay.
So we'll see if they're different. So stay tuned for that. I can't even tell you because I haven't opened the box yet. But we'll see.
Yep.
So yeah. So if you're interested, if you're willing to work with that limited RGB control, again, these look great. So check out the review, and you can kind of make your own judgment on that one. And then finally, we have this awesome product. It's just really cool. I like it. I'm a huge desk setup guy, and anybody who takes pride in their desk setup and their PC setup at home, or even in the, like, their cubicle or whatever, like, you just want it to look nice because that's where you're sitting a good amount of the time. Diveum, who makes Bluetooth speakers mostly, we reviewed some of their products before. They have their Timebox Mini, And it's a really small Bluetooth speaker, but on the front is a Pixel LED display that can be controlled via their mobile app, and it is pretty awesome. So just like this small square Bluetooth speaker, and then on the front, like I said, you have that display, and you can display time, you can display weather, you can like display these like, you know, cool pixel, whatever you want. You can
have whatever pixel art you want to do.
Yeah. It's just cool. And it's like $23. And, you know, I had it sitting here and people have been over and they're like, what is that? That's so cool. Like, how are you doing that? Like, it's nice because it's sitting there and like, I don't know about you, but like, I never look at the actual time on my screen. Like, I just don't. To sort of have a big display with the time there, it's kind of nice. And it does have, you can connect your social media accounts. So like if you get, you know, somebody messaged you on social media or it supports like WhatsApp mm-hmm. or whatever, like it shows yeah. a little notification there, like pops up. So, you know, like I have my phone on silent all day, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think yeah. just about everybody does.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the notification, like you can see that you visually see the notification. So it's yeah. cool. It's just a cool little thing to add to your desk. Perfect like gift for somebody. Like I said, it's $23, I believe. The Bluetooth speaker, looking at the side, like it's not made to be a Bluetooth speaker. While it does do that, you know what I mean?
yeah.
It will get the job done. Like the Bluetooth speaker is loud enough for like a small room or office or something like that. But the real star of the show is the Pixel LED display, and I think it's super cool. And you can do animations like the Matrix going down, you know, like you know, or like there's like a flame. The yeah, there's like flame. You can do all kinds of cool stuff. The app works great. It has a lot of stuff built in, actually. If you really want to use it, there's a lot in it. There's actually games you can play on the Pixel LED display too. It's just
using your phone.
Yeah, using your phone, yeah. or even using the display. Like you can use like the volume up and volume down to like move a little spacecraft around. Like just there's actually a lot in this that a lot of it's kind of useless. But I mean, I'm surprised they put this much time into it. But for yeah. the price and for somebody again who takes pride in like what their you know setup looks like, I think it's really cool.
Yeah,
and like
it allows you to really customize like your desk without going through too much effort.
Yeah, there's no effort at all, really. You plug it in, you get the app, and then you know you can do all that. And what's cool is you can play, play stuff from your phone and not have to have it around, which is nice. And you can like this is not like connected to power, right? This is you charge yeah. this, you know what I mean? So you can take it with you places and all of that too, which I like. So yeah, it's
cool.
It's one of the cooler products I've reviewed. And then I one product that like it's continually sitting on my desk. So mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect for the price and all that. So very, very cool. Yeah, definitely would recommend picking one of those up. And then we move along to Case Mod Friday, and this week we have a build which both of us saw in person
mm-hmm.
at CES. It was at the Zotac / AlphaCool booth by our buddy Mike. I can't say his last name. Mike, don't kill me. I think it's like because he's geez. Peterins? I can't say his last name.
I don't know. I actually don't know if I've heard it.
Yeah. But Mike, who's a good friend of ours, who we saw a lot this year at CES, he had yeah. his Audi e-tron build, and we both said that this thing is awesome. Just like the detail, seeing it in person was really, really cool. And this is based off the Thermaltake P5, and loosely. He heavily modified it. It looks yeah. really cool. It's actually what's really cool is that it is while they you know they had it at CES, it's actually going to be displayed in the Audi dealership in Brussels, which is
oh, that's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, so he did it in conjunction with them as well as I believe AlphaCool and Thermaltake. AlphaCool. Yeah.
Yeah, there was yeah. actually AlphaCool and Be Quiet that we were at.
Was it Be Quiet?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right.
They were sharing yeah. the suite. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, just awesome. Some awesome water cooling built into this. The attention to detail on certain things to make it look like an Audi. You know.
Yeah, it's got like the like a grill along the bottom to represent radiators. and then the intake on right in the middle of it. It's kind of like it's got the full grill cut into the acrylic, which is really cool.
Yeah. That's
probably, or not acrylic. That's tempered glass.
Yeah.
That was probably pretty nerve wracking to do. Might have even taken a couple attempts.
Yeah, to cut the tempered glass. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about that. So yeah, definitely. And there's two slots in the top too. I don't know if you see that.
Yeah. Yeah. What would be the headlights?
Yeah, it would be the headlights. Actually, if you kind of look at it, it kind of looks like a face with the two eyes. And then, you
it
know.
Does. But I think he's going for the car.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course, he's going for the car. But that's just my, you know. Yes. And then there's like a bunch of cool LED traces.
All the 24 pin and the 8 pins and stuff.
Yeah, it's something subtle you don't see a lot of people do either. So
they're really not great. Actually traces; they're just LED cutouts and then backlit.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But it looks like the wiring dives into the board, into the motherboard tray rather, and then runs over to the individual plug-in spots. But it's just simulated. But yeah. it achieves the effect pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. It looks really good. So definitely check out this build, and shout out to Mike. Sorry for butchering your last name, bud. But yeah, so let's jump into news, and then I know you're pretty this first story I'm sure you're pretty disappointed for, because you've been waiting for new graphics cards. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, when it comes to NVIDIA, you know, a lot of people thought we would see it before, you know, right around holiday season, we would see a next generation GeForce card, which we did not get.
No.
And we did not see anything at CES. And it looks like we will not see anything at GDC or GTC. So that is a Game Developer Conference and the GPU Technology Conference, yeah. Both of which are happening this month, which is March. I mean... It makes sense.
Do we just blame AMD at this point, or what?
I mean, that's part of it. AMD is not competitive at all on the consumer fronts,
yeah.
And you know, we don't know this whole thing with the cryptocurrency card that's possibly coming out. We don't know what that's going to do, or what NVIDIA is planning with that whole thing either. It's just, you know. We would expect by now to, you know, Volta's out, and it seems like from everything that I've read is that there will be no consumer Volta cards. That is a enterprise level card.
Yeah, apparently they're just skipping right over it.
Yeah, they're gonna skip over that to whatever the next thing. Either, you know, I've heard conflicting reports. They said Ampere is next, which is the next generation, or you know, we talked about Turing. Turing might be there. Might be a GeForce product out of that. I don't know.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I've been reading.
I think that's more with the machine learning stuff.
Yeah,
it's more meant for more apt for that.
Yeah, there have been reports on some pretty big websites saying that there might be a GeForce product come out of Turing. I don't know.
Okay.
But the biggest thing for me is that, you know, NVIDIA can kind of do what they want, you know, because there's no other competition, right?
Yeah. Unlimited sales.
Yeah, I mean, because people are going to keep buying the cards. The sales are up huge.
They have to buy whatever they can get their hands on at this point.
And there's not really games that are pushing us to the next thing, right?
Well, I mean, no, not... Well, sort of. It depends on, like, what level of gaming you're doing, but for the majority of people, no.
Yeah, I mean, even at 4K, a 1080 Ti is going to do the job. Pretty well.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly.
And it, you know, a lot of people aren't rocking 4K displays. Like 1440p, I would say. I didn't even look.
No, it's probably still 1080.
Yeah, some might be 1080. Steam has their survey out for February of, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you're doing 1080, 1440p, you know, a 1070 Ti is going to get the job done, right?
Oh, I mean, at 1080...
Oh yeah, it's like
nine series is overkill at 1080.
Yeah, so I mean,
even on high settings. So yeah, it's just so. But like, push it. Really, it's a matter of why would I overpay, like double pay for a 10 series card at this point in time?
That's the thing,
right?
Too, is that the market's so bad.
It's not like they're not just. It's not like they're just not releasing new cards. It's like you have to pay extra for old technology.
Yeah. Yeah, it.
We're well over. Are we into 2 years now?
Let's see.
seems like it's got to be there. Maybe GDC from 2016.
No. Okay, so wait. Yeah, May 27th, 2016, the GTX 1080 came out.
Yeah.
So
that would be GDC, right?
I believe it's either GDC or GTC. GTC was when the 1080 came out.
Okay.
But still, you know, coming up.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it will be 2 years in May.
Yeah.
And
good for the early adopters on the 10 series. Man, did they get their values worth.
Yeah.
You know?
So it doesn't look like we'll see anything. I'm guessing we'll have to see something at Computex, right?
No.
I mean, yeah. That's the thing is that I don't know what AMD is doing right now. Who knows?
And then there's a question of, are they all just stalling and just going to just keep selling what they have because they can manufacture it? They know how to manufacture it. The costs are probably dropping on their manufacturing because they're building the same stuff over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So your processes are getting better. And they're selling more of it than they probably sold of any other series that they've ever done.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Why change, I guess? But maybe we need to look to game developers for the answer to this one.
I think the biggest thing that's going to push it, honestly, is competition from AMD. Because if you don't have competition, there's no reason to release the next big thing, right? Because you're not losing market share to AMD. Money drives everything, right? So if AMD is taking some of that market share, then, you know, we've seen it. We've seen NVIDIA strike right back. As soon as AMD announces something, NVIDIA has something right there. So
or even if they're behind for just a little while, it's just a little while before they're back on top.
Yeah, so it sucks to wait because we know that they have something. I mean, they have to, right?
There's no way they don't have another series ready.
Yeah.
Obviously we all think that they had it ready back when, what was the last AMD series?
The Vega series, yeah.
The Vega series, yeah, back when Vega launched. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was ready to go, ready to roll pretty much then.
Yeah. So, who knows? We'll obviously keep you guys updated on what we hear on this, but it's just disappointing because you're just excited for the next graphics card. You're excited
for... and at this point, I'm on a 970 here, and I loaded up the new Battlefront game, and it's not running that great.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm at 4K with...
Oh, there you, well, there settings, you go, yeah. You know,
DirectX 12 and such, so...
Yeah, so...
But I'm not buying a new card. I'm not buying a 10 series card, period.
You can't. You have to, like, go to, like, a mom-and-pop store that might have one in and find it, or, like... Find out when Best Buy gets their shipment in, and like that's the only place you can buy it retail.
Yeah,
you know, like you can't go on Amazon. You can't go
unless you're doing a full build.
Yeah, unless you're doing full build places. Which, like, it's just not the time to. It's so bad,
and it hasn't been the time. That's the sad part.
Yeah, yeah. So, we'll move on from that to AMD. On the lighter side of AMD, is their new Ryzen chips, which should be coming out, hopefully in April timeframe. And a new chip has been leaked on the FutureMark 3D Mark database. It is the Ryzen 7 2700X, and that is the update to the 1700X.
Yeah.
So this is
not quite the flagship.
No, not the flagship yet. No. Nope. But it's 8 core, 16 thread. Runs at a base clock of 3.7 gigahertz and will boost up to 4.2 in certain circumstances with their XFR 2.0. One, you already have over the previous generation, you're having a 300 megahertz boost in base clock speed, which is kind of going to be nice. And then the possibility to boost up to 4.2. That again with the XFR that is based on your setup and your cooling and all that kind of stuff to be stable.
So anybody with decent cooling should be able to hit that no problem.
Yeah. So that's just something to see. You know, we're gonna see these chips. Ryzen's killing it. It has been. It's like I said. It's you know, we just talked about the GPU stuff not having any competition. Well, you know, there is competition yeah. in the CPU space, which is amazing.
Yeah, and, it's the only space there's competition in.
Yeah, so yeah, it's cool to see these. These will be coming out, and I'm excited to, you know, hopefully get
like
some.
It looks like a legit update. You know, it's the stat clock is nearly as fast as the old boost clock on the 7800, so that's a pretty good increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and then boosting over 4 gigahertz, you know, on 8-core, 16-thread. Give me some of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and these have been very temperature good. You know, you don't need some hardcore thing to be running these at their boost clock or even running these overclocked for a while. Like, these are good chips. The software is better. The AMD Master software has improved so much. Stability's just everything's good. First generation, we had some issues when it first launched. Those have all been solved as far as software and motherboard issues and things like that. We're all good. We're ready. We saw the X470 at Gigabyte at CES. Mm-hmm. You know, we're ready for this. Everybody is. So excited
hopefully
to see
some good gaming specs coming out of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Really excited to see, you know, what AMD has done over the past year and, you know, just get ready for the next thing. You know me, I'm excited for the motherboards, obviously. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting time. Hopefully, April-ish time frame. So excited.
Nice.
Yes. And going to the Intel side. You know, when Intel launched their 8th generation Coffee Lake, their core Coffee Lake processors, we saw the Z370 chipset, and then there were no other ones. No one really knows, because usually Z370, H370, all of those launch at the same time or within, you know, a couple months, but we didn't see that. I don't know if it had to do with the Meltdown and Spectre thing, like what the deal was, you know, because the H370 is more price conscious for a lot of people. You can build a great, you know, mid-range gaming system with that. You save some money because you don't need... You know, you don't need your SLI support. You don't need any of that stuff.
Yeah, you know? Oftentimes you don't need a lot of the features.
You know, but it looks like we will see these come out April timeframe as well. And the first one that was leaked is the Gigabyte H370 Aorus Gaming 3, the Wi-Fi edition, which looks like a nice board. Not nice overall. I mean, it looks awesome. But it has all the features you're going to want when you want to do build and, you know, save a little bit of money, especially if you're not going to be overclocking, because I believe with H370 overclocking, you won't be able to do it. That's how it's been on previous H-series chipsets from Intel. But you still get your M.2 in there. You get good audio. This is the Wi-Fi board. Of course, being Aorus, you have tons of RGBs in there. Looks good. So, yeah.
Kind of a slightly orange theme to it.
Yeah, we didn't, you know, if you remember the X470, it has the same color design. So I think that's what the Aorus design is going to be going through on these and the AMD ones as well. So I like it. I think it looks good. I think these are going to be very affordable for a lot of people. So miners.
Yeah,
we'll be picking some of these up.
They'll probably be looking for even cheaper than these.
Yeah. But you'll see H370, B360, and H310 motherboards hopefully out in April. So definitely stay tuned for that.
My guess would be they were just waiting for the market to kind of buy up some of the Z series boards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of get that, like, get all the early upgraders that, you know, they're going to spend it because they want to upgrade. Just kind of don't give the option right away.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, so we'll see that stuff in April. Hopefully we'll get some boards into review, and it'll tell you guys about those. Moving on to the storage front, Western Digital announced their PC SN 720 and PC SN 520 NVMe SSDs. So Western Digital is entering the NVMe SSD market. Though these ones aren't really for consumers, but the reason I want to talk about this is because, you know, Western Digital is a big player, especially in the normal hard drive space, right? They're one of the big players, but they haven't really made the leap over to, you know, they released their SSDs, which were kind of like, eh, right? And they were kind of like late, and these are going to be kind of late, but NVMe is where everybody's going, and to have a big competitor, this is, you know, Western Digital is a big competitor. Have a big competitor, a well-known competitor to Samsung, will be interesting as this year goes forward, I think. You know,
yeah, if they step up into that performance spec.
Yeah, if they step up in their performance spec, like, you know, I don't know if you remember, you know, like the WD Black was, oh, yeah, like, you remember getting those, like the,
yeah, Caviar,
you know,
Black, yeah.
Yeah, the Caviar Blacks.
Or the Raptor, right?
Yeah. Was that? Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, but like, Raptor, that was like the drive
those
you wanted.
Those things were loud as shit.
Yeah, but like, that was the drive you wanted, right? No, if they release an high-end NVMe that can you know, compete with Samsung Evos in the Samsung Pro NVMe drives, I think it'd be good for the space and hopefully drive prices down because they're huge right now.
Yeah.
You know, prices of NAND is not cheap. So if we could, you know, over this year have those type of drives come out, I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and talking about Western Digital, you know, they own SanDisk, and this is more for me and you because we take a lot of photos and things like that. Released a new version of their 400 gigabytes micro SDXC card. It is now the world's fastest. It's 400 gigabytes. And it has read and write speeds of 160 megabytes a second and write speed of 90 megabytes a second. Super fast. So if you're capturing 4K video, if you're shooting a lot of raw photos, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's really great for the micro SD form factor because SD had speeds like this
already. Yeah. Yeah, so this is like being micro SD. It's really great for drones. It's, you know, things like that.
GoPro
drone, all that
your
kind
phone,
of stuff.
Your phone, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
The cameras are getting better in our phones. You know, your camera is only gonna work as fast as the memory can write. So.
Yeah, so I think it's great. In 400 gigabytes, you don't have to worry about switching out that card or anything like that. Just great for speed. I always like to see things get faster. Definitely check that out if you're interested. There was no release on pricing, but it should be right around the same price as the previous version. A little bit, probably a little bit more expensive, but not that much more.
It's nice that it's SanDisk too because they make good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, SanDisk, you know,
high quality.
The quality's there and all of that. So moving on to cases, Cooler Master released their mesh white version of the HP 500. And I just think that white looks awesome on this case. The two 200 millimeter massive fans that are in the front are white LED, kind of matches the whole theme. You could do, say, either like a Stormtrooper build with this. I could totally see that. Just a white, you know, a white with white
coolant. I mean, it really kind of is Stormtrooper as it is.
Yeah.
It has minor black accents on it.
Yeah, so like, imagine like a white build, you know, the white PCB motherboard with a white PCB graphics card with white coolant through your hard tubing. Like, I can see an awesome build in this. So definitely, you know, it's $149 for the case. I like it. It's, you know, a lot of airflow, which cases are kind of going away from. We've seen, so 200 millimeter fans in the front, which are going to look great because they have the white LEDs. It's a win-win. I like this case. Another interesting thing that came out this week, we've seen at least one hardware wallet come out in the past year for cryptocurrency from I can't think what it's called.
Oh, shoot, what is the thing called?
Yeah, I'm going to look. But it's from a company that wasn't really well known, right?
A little bit different than the one we're talking about here.
Yeah. The Ledger wallet, the Ledger Nano S was like the most, but like nobody heard of it. And like when you're putting cryptocurrency, which is, you know, basically like real
money.
On there, you know, from a company that you haven't really heard of, it's kind of weird, right?
Especially for us, it's overseas.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know.
And the ways to buy it felt a little sketchy, and
Yeah.
There were delays in getting it, and
So Archos, who at least I remember, I don't know what they've done lately. Their name that I know because they used to make MP3 players. You know, they've come out with their Safety Mini hardware wallet that allows you to store cryptocurrency. This came out at Mobile World Congress, which is the biggest mobile trade show in the world. And yeah, it's good to see it from
cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's good to see it from a larger company.
I was pretty impressed by the specs. The Nano Ledger seemed to me like it's just basically an encrypted USB.
Yeah.
Whereas this actually has a processor in it.
This has a processor. It has the OLED that will show you, you know, how much currency you have, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know.
I'm sure what it's going to say, the encryption in here.
It does have... There is all that stuff built in. I know that. I think that's coming from a larger company like Archos that probably has the manufacturing connections and everything. There'll be more of these out there, I think, than the Ledger Nano.
Higher availability.
And it looks like they're making, they're partnering with different digital security and all that kind of stuff to have these available for different exchanges and all that kind of stuff. So, cool. Yeah, and it's just something that might become commonplace with how cryptocurrency is going to see more hardware wallets, you know, being built by different companies.
Well, I mean, eventually, I think we'll see something to this extent replacing your actual wallet. You won't carry anything because it'll all be digital.
I think eventually you would have it on your phone in some regards, but again, this is different because with the phone there's access into your phone, right?
So
that's a big difference.
I can't say that the encryption is necessarily better than what's on your phone because your phone is very well encrypted. But I mean, it's, you know, it's built for that purpose.
So I just think it's cool. I think it's definitely something we should talk about because cryptocurrency still is huge and, you know, a lot of money is being put into it. So, and it's good to see, like I said, coming from a bigger company, it might be more available. So maybe you'll see this at Walmart or something. You never know.
Yeah. Or order it from Amazon.
Yeah. So coming down to games, there's a lot of game news this week and starting with a big one, which isn't gonna stop microtransactions, but the the entertainment software ratings board, the ESRB, has started their thing with microtransactions. It's a big deal, and I think this is more for parents. You know, you buy your kid a game, and then you know you put, you know, your credit cards linked to their Origin accounts or their Steam accounts, and they start buying stuff in game and in your
I'd kill a kid.
Yeah, you get your credit card statement back, and you're like, "What the hell is this?
You paid how much for what?"
Yeah. So, moving forward, starting this past week, all games that have in-game purchases or loot boxes that you have to buy or whatever, any microtransaction that's, if it's in the game, the box and the material, you know, anything you see, even if you're buying a digital copy, it will have to say in-game purchases on that, on there.
So that was the kind of thing I was laughing at. I was like, so they're putting a sticker on the box, right? Okay, who buys them that way anymore?
Well, even the marketing materials that are on, it has to say it, you know, on the if you're buying it on Amazon, if you're buying it through Steam or whatever,
to be explicit about
it has to be explicitly said on there, which. It's a deterrent for what I just talked about with parents being like, what the hell, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't stop the loot box problem because this is just, you know, a sticker or a graphic that has to be put on a thing. It's
more of a statement, I think.
It's just there was so much upheaval over the loot box thing that they're like, okay, we have to do something. This is pretty much what we can do.
I mean, and it's really, it's a step for... the industry, the gaming industry, taking it into their own hands as much as they can
mm-hmm.
before, because the last thing we want and where we're headed is to have actual legislation passed. We don't need politics controlling video games. That's where it starts. The talk tends to lead towards controlling what's put into games and stuff. And we don't need censorship in video games.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you there. You know, we don't need anything like that. And that just makes it worse. And then we'll have even more restrictions on games and what we can do with them.
Yep. We need to self-police. I mean, what this is it's essentially gambling with the loot boxes and the loot crates and stuff, because it's random.
Yeah.
And it's exploitative, and we just need to start regulating ourselves.
Yeah, I think
someone decides to do it for us.
Honestly, I think the backlash over the loot boxes in Star Wars, you know, with people returning the game and the PR disaster which that was, made people like EA sort of, you know, fix things. I mean, they did fix certain things and do all that. You know what I mean?
Well, they got their hands smacked.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Of course. Disney. Yeah. So, and like I said, the biggest thing with this story is I think that it's great for parents. They'll know if, you know, let's not put that credit card on that account, you know?
Yeah. Or it'll promote them to not buy those games at all because they don't want to risk that. And that will start to impact it more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So we'll talk about Far Cry 5, which will be coming out. And it looks like AMD is going to give the game away for free if you buy a selected pre-built Radeon system, which honestly, at this point in time, buying a pre-built system isn't a horrible idea if you're looking to get a new computer.
No. It'll just save you money.
Yeah, it's just for the fact that you can't find graphics cards, especially AMD cards, at normal prices. If you buy a select pre-built system that feature the Vega 64, Vega 56, or RX 580, you'll get Far Cry 5. So if you're looking to do something like that, you can go ahead and do that. Like I said, it's a little promotion going on. Get a free game. Buy a system, get a free game. You can't really complain about that if this is what you're looking to get.
Yeah, clicking on the link that you included, it looks like you can actually get the game if you buy a Vega RX 580 as well.
Yes, I believe so.
Essentially, they're just, because so many people are probably buying bundled systems now because that's the only way to get their cards, they're just also including that game with it.
Yeah.
Like, because you are buying their card, they're going to pass it through the third party.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
Yeah, just like I said, free game, can't complain. We see this all the time.
Yeah, I mean, remember when graphics card manufacturers were clamoring for us
and giving us
like three free games with their cards?
Yep. Yeah.
Those were the days.
I know, right? And like, I remember, you know, when you got a graphics card, it came with like some cool, like, either stickers or a poster or like cool stuff.
Yeah.
And now you get a graphics card and maybe sometimes like an adapter. That's it.
Yeah. Well, and you also paid them twice what it's worth.
Yeah, that too. So talking about games still, H1Z1, which was pretty much the precursor to...
it was the first Battle Royale.
Yeah, basically the first Battle Royale. You know, then we came PUBG and we have Fortnite and all that stuff. It finally left early access after, I believe, 3 years. And there's a new Auto Royale game mode, which basically takes Battle Royale and adds in cars, and there's a driver, and I think you can put four or three other people in the car, and everybody can shoot out of the car. I like this idea, but we talked about this in our chat, that I would ultimately like to see a Twisted Metal Battle Royale deal, right, where I can pick my car, I start with whatever car, and then I can run around and find upgrades for it and then kill people. That's my whole thing.
So basically, you want to play Twisted Metal.
I want to play Twisted Metal.
You want a new version of Twisted
Metal. I want a new version of Twisted Metal, multiplayer Battle Royale, and like the same thing where I can, like, there's a big open map, I can drive around and pick up upgrades for my car, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I mean, this is slightly different than that, of course.
Yeah. I initially
kind of wanted a different game.
I initially thought that's what it was, like, okay, this is just cars only,
right.
But it's not.
No, it's more about, I mean, in PUBG. You can. You can get four people in a car and you can drive around in squad.
Yeah.
Right? So, and you can do this. This is just essentially, like, making a game mode that is all you do, is you drive around and shoot from the car.
Yeah. So I think
it sounds interesting. I mean, they say they're going for an arcadey, quick and easy thing with different things that the car that you can do, as opposed to, you know, just driving around in the car with your regular running on foot weapons. There's different weapons and defensive tactics and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Yeah, it'd be cool to check out. I think they needed to do it because, as you saw, PUBG surpassed H1Z1 and so did Fortnite.
Yeah, it's not even PUBG to worry about anymore. Fortnite is the
Fortnite's the one that crushing. Everybody is the one that everybody's playing. So, it's free. Yeah, and it's free. I mean, you know, so if you have H1Z1, definitely something to check out. I know a lot of people do because a lot of people were playing that before PUBG came out. So, maybe something to check out and play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, an interesting story came out. They're making supplements for gamers. This company, they're called Boss Level Labs. They're making a supplement specifically targeted at gamers called God Mode. And each pill has 14 brain-boosting nootropics, which help improve cognitive functions in healthy adults. Besides, and it promises to supercharge your memory, improve your reaction speed by 6-10%, and to help you think that you're faster and smarter.
If you think you're faster, are you faster?
Well, that's the thing. And they said it's supposed to reduce stress and anxiety. There's like a lot of claims from this. One, everybody's looking for a way to get in on the craze that is gaming, right? It's huge.
Yeah.
You know, do these work? We don't know. There's actually a really good video by Eurogamer that we have in the article that they took it for the 30 days that you know each bottle is, or it's kind of, you know, iffy if it works. I would watch the video. You know, I don't think that's.
Well, you included the line that this is not actually FDA approved, so the just pills, that the pill capsule is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of shady. I think that if anything...
Well, yeah.
It's really interesting. Honestly, the story from Eurogamer, the video that they made that we have in the article, it's an interesting watch. It's like 13 minutes. It's like really good investigative journalism, which we don't see anymore.
not really.
So I would watch that. It is...
especially if you're actually considering this.
Yeah, if you're actually considering this, I would watch that video. It kind of sheds the light on a lot of things. It has good stuff in it. I mean, that's what it has some stuff in it, but is that, you know, there are claims as far as your reaction speed getting better and to supercharge your memory. Like, this, it can't really be proven. You know what I mean?
No, it's research proven. It says so on the bottle.
Yeah. So, the 60 pill bottle is $50.
Yeah.
So I would just, you know, I would watch that video that we have in the article.
My number one thing to say on this is to anybody that doesn't know, in the supplement industry, it's not FDA regulated. It's not considered food for whatever reason. And I mean, if you live in the United States, you know FDA regulation is what's supposed to protect you from some company killing you with food.
Yeah.
And supplements are not. And in independent testing, oftentimes there are heavy metals and a lot of nasty things found in supplements. So this is no different than that. Be careful what you do. You want to say that this is no different than like chugging your energy drink or whatever, but those are food, so they are FDA regulated.
Yes.
So you know what at least you know what you're getting with those. This, I don't know. It's the number one thing I see actually doing anything in here is just the caffeine. It's 75 milligrams of caffeine. This is just taking your money, I would say.
Yeah, so like I said, I would watch the video, do your research. If you want to try it, they tried it. They didn't die or anything.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just something that we had to talk about because, I mean, that's something that's going to be, you know, gaming is huge. There's scholarships. It's
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you're making a lot of money if you get into the pro scene, so. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, the same argument can be made against a lot of devices and stuff that people are sold for game enhancement.
So. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Just don't want you to hurt yourself is all.
Yeah. Well, very good. You know, telling us that, Derek, because I totally didn't even think about that. yeah. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week. And we'll have Thermaltake's View 71 Tempered Glass Edition case. This is their big boy. It's a case that Derek would like because it is a full tower. Massive, big case. You can fit, I'm trying to look at the radiator sizes. You can fit 420 in the front, 420 in the top, 240 in the bottom. Like, this is, you know, four tempered glass panels. You get both side panels plus the front and the top is tempered glass.
Nice.
It is massive. Supports all sizes of graphics cards. Tons of hard drive space as well. I forget how many hard drives you can fit in here. But you get at least six. You get two cages that support six drives each. And then you could do six SSDs on the back side of the motherboard or three more normal size. I mean, this is just like
a, nice.
Like, yeah. Big beast of
it's a case. Built as cases were intended to be built. Let's be honest.
Yeah. It's huge. And it's relatively, I forget how much it is.
170.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad.
It's definitely steel.
Yeah. It's steel. Again, marketing the pictures. Well, I guess they do show the other pictures in the gallery, but on their product description, it shows it with four fans. You only get two of those fans. You get one intake and one exhaust.
Gonna want a little more than that with a case this big.
Yeah. We'll get into review next week. But it's one of those cases I enjoy reviewing because I love big cases. Yeah. Like as Derek said, cases that are built the way that cases should be built.
cases that don't make you like. Compromise. Make concessions, like you get to do I want this, this, and this, and I can have it all.
Yeah. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then we have Lenovo's Yoga 920 Ultrabook. The review is actually on the website today, but not to give too much away, it's their high-end 2-in-1. It's a Yoga laptop. It's 8th generation Intel processor inside. You have the version we have has 8 gigabytes of DDR4 and a M.2 NVMe SSD. So super fast, super quick. I've been using this for over a month now. I got it for the CES trip and I've been using it ever since. Has that awesome hinge. Oh,
yeah. Well over a month.
Yeah. Has that awesome hinge. With you can put this in like a tent mode. You can do full tablet. You can do a lot of stuff. Has Thunderbolt 3. Like, this is the. If you're looking for something around this size, this is one of the ones to get. So all aluminum design as well. So it's nice. So definitely, cool. You know, yeah, like I said, nice. The review's online, but we'll talk about it more next week, probably at the podcast. But a lot of cool stuff on this one. And what else we have? We have ASIO's Atom Mouse. We got to check this out briefly at CES. It's an ambidextrous, which you don't see a lot of those really, you see mice designed for the right hand. Left-handers are kind of left in the dark.
Yeah, it's why they have a lower lifespan.
Yeah.
it's true. Left-handed people have a lower life expectancy.
I'm left-handed, but I use my right hand for the mouse.
Well, yeah, you gotta adapt or else you'll die.
Yeah, so. And I also shoot hockey right-handed as well, so.
nice.
Yes, but I catch with right hand and I throw with the left hand. But anyways, so yeah, this is their $50 ambidextrous gaming mouse. Has some RGB features in there. Ryan is checking this one out this week, so he'll let us know what he thinks about it. But it's cool to see ambidextrous. Again, you don't see it too often. And ASIO is really trying to expand their gaming stuff. So this is one of their first new products for 2018. So.
Cool.
Excited to check that out. And we have another Bluetooth tracker. We talked about the Tile. And this one is from a company called Mynt, M-Y-N-T. It's their little Bluetooth tracker, but it actually has a lot more stuff built in. The button on it allows you, this is connected via Bluetooth to your phone, and the button on it can act as a remote for your camera on your phone, which is nice because if you're trying to take a picture with your friends, and if nobody's around, you can use that. You know what I mean? Yeah. The button can do a lot of different things. You can use it to like skip and pause and do all kinds of stuff with your phone. So it's a little different. And we have two to give away. So we'll be giving those away when the review gets launched too. So
that's cool.
Yes. So we have that. And possibly, I just totally forgot because it's the beginning of the month. We should have Case Mod Friday. Or not Case Mod Friday. Worst PC setups, I'm sorry. Yeah. Worst PC setups. Of course, that's where we go out and find some really bad PC setups. And, you know, show them to you guys, and we get a little laugh out about it. And you feel better about your PC setup. So we should have that this week as well. And we were taking questions for the podcast. I think we want to do at least one or two questions at the end of each podcast. And my one friend, Brandon, he asked me, when will graphics cards get back to the normal price? And the big thing, I think, when it comes to that is when will, you know, NVIDIA talked about, we talked about Turing, when will that come out, right? And if that comes out, and as we talked about, if the performance is better than running graphics cards in a mining rig, then you'll see it, because the ASIC miners, while they're much more proficient, they're incredibly expensive, like $3,000 to $5,000 to buy an ASIC mining machine. Whereas if you're just starting out, you know, you, well, they're expensive now, but I mean, you can pick up a couple 1070s and get some, you know, start your mining up easier that way. And a lot of people, you know, they're gamers, but they're doing mining while they're not gaming too. So
dual use systems.
But because I think you'll see, hopefully see it over this year, the prices get back to normal with Samsung getting into the ASIC mining game, which means more of those are available. You know, for the big,
that'll take care of, that'll take care of the big mining conglomerates.
Yes,
which will push a lot of cards, card availability out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that if NVIDIA is serious about this, use the card for what it was meant for thing that they're harping on lately, you know, they might figure out a way to lock out their cards from working for mining.
Yeah.
And force you into buying Turing for mining. I mean, and then that's along the same lines as the Titan, was that XP? Why am I forgetting?
The Titan...
No, it's not. It's
Titan V. Titan V.
Yeah, Titan V, yeah. I mean, because they don't want you to use that for data center. So, yeah. I have a feeling there's going to be some sort of lockout built into the drivers for these video cards coming soon.
Oh, that could be. You know, so I think, you know, Alexa's going off. So I think that to answer Brandon's question, I would, probably till the middle of the year, if not later. We have no clue when Turing's going to be available. The mining craze is still going on. Prices have been going up over the past couple weeks, getting kind of back to a more normal when it comes to Bitcoin. So that's still going to
pick up again.
Yeah, it's supposed to pick up, and things are going to look good coming into, you know, the second Q2 of this year. So,
yeah,
I'm sorry, man. It's just, it's going to be a while. The thing that I suggest, find when Best Buy, if you're looking to buy local, I guess it's only really, find when Best Buy gets their shipments in, and you'll be able to get it for retail price there. They actually sell theirs at retail. If you have a mom and pop store, you know what I mean?
They might be able to help you. Micro Center was doing it too. There was a way at Micro Center where you could get them at retail price. But I think that involved buying more of a system.
Yeah, you had to buy a system with that. You can go into Micro Center if there's one by you. Micro Center Fries, they'll sell them at retail, but they're hard to find in stock. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing, is finding them in stock. So if you're looking, again, there's are some people on Reddit that will sell them for around retail because they're like good people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what you kind of have to do right now to get a card at retail. So, but for when prices are going to go down, you're looking towards the middle of the year, I'm guessing.
Q3, Q4.
Yeah, something like
or
that.
Later.
Or later. So, again, something you'll have to kind of just watch the prices and see what happens with these releases of ASICs and as well as the Turing card.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is what it is.
Yeah. So, end of the podcast here. We'll talk about if we did anything tech related or watched anything cool or, you know, any of that. Did you do anything?
I watched Annihilation yesterday.
Was it good?
It was good.
Nice. I have been watching, which I think you'll like. I've been watching Altered Carbon.
Yes, have I?
Oh, all right. Do you like it?
I can't decide. Can't
All right.
decide if it's good production or not. The first episode, I was like, wow, this has really good production value. And then the second episode, I was like less impressed with it.
Yeah,
Where are they going with this? Is there enough story here too?
yeah, so I'm like 4 episodes in, and I still like it. I think it's
Are you watching it just because you're watching it?
no, I'm watching it because I do like sci-fi, right? And I don't feel there's
Well,
enough.
this, yeah.
I don't feel there's maybe there is enough, but it's just not good. So I feel like it's good. Like it's good enough to for me to be interested
Okay.
in. It's not something that is just completely out there. So I think it's good so far, and it's worth watching if you're into sci-fi, 100%.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
It's definitely NSFW, so
Yeah,
keep
yeah,
that in mind.
yeah. But it's good. I like it. So I'll continue to watch it and kind of see where that goes. What else did I
Oh,
do?
I played Monero or not Monero, Monte Crypto. I'm sure I was
Oh,
Monte.
so.
I'm sure I was Monte Monero when I was playing it. Pretty sure that's
Yeah,
the
so
scheme.
Derek, we talked about, was it last week on the podcast?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So the mining crypto game that if you win, you
You win a
get a
Bitcoin.
you win a Bitcoin, which is now valued at around $11,000,
Yeah.
which is a nice little price. So Derek went out and bought the game. How much was it for you?
It was like $1.50.
Yeah, $1.50 game. And how far did you get in the game?
I don't know. I played an hour and then it reset.
Mm.
Bastards.
Couldn't get it, huh?
Well, I
So.
mean, it like sort of resets. You still like a lot of the stuff is still good to go. I don't know. It's very strange. I don't know. It's so maze-like. It's a riddle game and it's kind of a maze game. I don't know. I couldn't decide if it was good or not. But definitely like the thought that there's an actual prize at the end of it like drives you pretty hard.
Yeah.
Like I had like a notebook. I was like taking notes and everything as I went
That's so
along.
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, this could be a marketing tactic for certain things, right?
Yeah. Oh, and I'm sure I was mining Monero. Like, they're definitely not paying for that prize on their own, for sure.
$11,000. I mean, you got your small business loan to develop the game, and
Yeah, but
you got
why
some.
when you can just use the GPU power of the system that's running it?
That's true. Very true. That's really cool. I've played Overwatch this weekend. I'm
Oh,
getting
cool.
slightly better.
Yeah, I
And
doubt it.
two things that I want to tell you guys about is that one, we have a Discord channel now, which we've been posting on social media, but I'll put in the show notes as well. So if you want to come in there, hangouts. We have it announces some news, as well as announces when we put up new YouTube videos. And we should have it. And also we have a Twitch channel that we've been streaming on a little bit. I bought a new webcam, so we're ready to go to stream some Twitch and watch me
Wow, look
slowly
at
get
you.
better at Overwatch. So, and I Overwatch, PUBG. I did buy Star Wars as well, so we're playing all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, I got that too.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's going on. So as I always tell you guys, if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting software, it is just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.